Isn't it good to be in the Lord's house today? Amen. First Chronicles chapter number 11. First Chronicles chapter number 11 tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to preach God's word on this Awana Awards night. And I am mindful that it's a little bit longer service than we normally have, but I know that God's got something for us in his word. This is what the Lord's put upon my heart. And I want to examine this tonight. Study this from 1 Chronicles chapter number 11. And I'll invite your attention to verse number 1 as we begin. In verse 1 it says, "Then all Israel gathered themselves to David unto Hebron, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. And moreover, in time past, even when Saul was king, thou wast he that leddest out and broughtest in Israel. And the Lord thy God said unto thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be ruler over my people Israel. Therefore came all the elders of Israel to the king to Hebron. And David made a covenant with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel according to the word of the Lord by Samuel. And David and all Israel went to Jerusalem, which is Jebus, where the Jebusites were, and the inhabitants of the land. And the inhabitants of Jebus said to David, Thou shalt not come hither. Nevertheless, David took the castle of Zion, which is the city of David. And David said, Whosoever smiteth the Jebusites first shall be chief and captain. So Joab, the son of Zeruiah, went first up and was chief. And David dwelt in the castle, therefore they called it the city of David. And he built the city round about, even from Milo round about, and Joab repaired the rest of the city. So David waxed greater and greater, for the Lord of the host was with him. These also are the chief of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom and with all Israel to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel." Let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight, thankful again for what we've already witnessed and the accomplishments of many of these kids and the memorization of Scripture. And Father, our hearts are full and challenged already. And God, we thank you now for the opportunity to study your word. And God, I pray that you would take it and speak to our hearts. And God, I pray that you would use me as an instrument in your hand. Father, I've got nothing of myself to say or to offer. But God, I pray that you would just take me and use me and fill me with your Spirit. Lord, I pray that you bind the devil from distracting anyone in this room tonight, and God, may our hearts and our minds be solely upon you and your word and what you have for us, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. What we've just read here in the book of 1 Chronicles in chapter number 11, these first 10 verses here, is a story or an event that was two decades in the making. From the time David was anointed to be the next king over Israel by the prophet Samuel, to the time he assumed the role as king over all of Israel, as we just read, more than 20 years have passed. A lot has transpired over those 20 plus years, and David has come a long way. From a ruddy teenager to a battle-tested warrior known now as King David, a man after God's own heart. And just a couple years after his anointing as a teen, if we would look back in 1 Samuel 16, he is brought in to serve King Saul at the time and used there to minister with his musical talents. And before his teenage years was up, perhaps the most famous event in the life of King David would take place with the slaying of a giant named Goliath. And his life would never be the same. As David, from that point, would rise through the ranks and become known as Saul had killed his thousands, but David is 10,000. Saul becomes jealous of him, doing all he can to ruin David's life, including trying to set him up to die in battle. And one of the things he also did to mess and trip David up was offer his daughter Michal as a wife, knowing that she would be a snare unto him. And Saul couldn't stand to have David in his presence. In fact, as we know, he attempted on more than one occasion to kill David. And so from here, David spends the next few years on the run. He spends time in the desert. He spends time in the mountains, in the caves, running from Saul, the man who seeks his life. And it's during this time that David accumulates his own ragtag group of men that would stand by his side for the rest of his life. Saul would eventually die in battle, and David, after a nearly a decade and a half, finally assumes the throne, but only of Judah, the northern kingdom. Ishbosheth is made king over the... he was only Judah, the southern kingdom. Ishbosheth is made king over the northern kingdom by Abner, a trusted soldier of Saul. And then now as we come to this point, 7 years later, Saul is dead, Abner is dead, and they come to David to anoint him finally to be king over all of Israel. And so as we read there, they come to David, they ask him to be their king, they're willing to submit to his leadership as king as he had been anointed by Samuel. They go to what is now known as Jerusalem, the Zion, and they take the city there. It becomes known as the City of David. And David sits there on the throne in the castle, finally after 20 plus years, is able to stand there as the king, truly the anointed king of Israel, a united kingdom under his rule. As I think about that, the Bible talks about him kind of observing what's taking place and the city being built around him, and Joab's making repairs, and I can kind of imagine in my mind David in this moment where it's a culmination of events, it's a coronation of sorts as king of Israel, and he's kind of looking around and he's reflecting on all that God's done over the past 20 plus years and what's led up to this point. And I can imagine maybe he sees a group of his, what's known as his mighty men, and David begins to reflect on them being by his side over the past 20 plus years and helping him to reach this point. And I can imagine it's as though as David's thinking about this as finally king over all Israel that he comes to this conclusion that no one makes it alone. No one makes it alone. As we sit here tonight and reflect on our own life and our spiritual journey, can I tell you this tonight? That no one makes it alone. No one of us are at our final destination in our spiritual life or our spiritual growth. We understand that, but leading up to this point in our spiritual life, we haven't done it on our own. Just as a person in the physical realm of life alone does not get to where they are in education, profession, sports, politics, etc. by themselves, in the spiritual realm, neither do we get to where we are by ourselves. No one in their spiritual walk with God is self-made. No one makes it alone. And David certainly understood this as he's standing there as king after more than 20 years have passed since the time that Samuel had promised he would be the king, and he realized that no one makes it alone. Just two questions I want to ask you tonight as we look in God's Word. And first of all, my question is this: who are your mighty men? Who are your mighty men? We put ourselves in David's shoes. We're not kings tonight. We're not prophets or anything of that sort. We're not presidents. We're not in a high position of leadership such as David was. But we think about where we're at in our spiritual lives, in our spiritual journey, whether it's been the existence of 1 week or it's been the culmination of decades in the making, and we understand that no one makes it alone. And as we sit and we look back upon the investments that were made in our lives, I want you to think about this first of all tonight. Who are your mighty men? Because every single one of you, if I could take time to bring you up here and stand you in front of a microphone and have you recall the spiritual journey from the time you received Christ as your Savior to this moment in time, you could stand here and list men and women that have worked, that have invested, that have done all they could to help you, to bring you to the point where you are spiritually. Understanding this, that no one makes it alone. And it's important for us from time to time to stop and to recognize and to take inventory of those that have invested and that God has used to bless our lives, to make us the men and women we are today, and recognize those mighty men and thank God for them. And that's what's happening here. And when we think about that of the mighty men, or think about who are mighty men, we understand this tonight, that it's a collaborative effort. I want you to see in verse number 10, it says, "These also are the chief of the mighty men whom David had." We have just in both this passage here and then also in 2 Samuel chapter number 23, we have just 54 total names mentioned, 37 in one passage and then an additional 17, not necessarily named, but you add it up and it'll reach that. These are mighty men of David. But the Bible says that these are just the chief. This isn't all of them. And we look back in our own lives, it's not as though we can just point to one person and say, this one person is solely responsible for helping me reach this point in my life. No, we understand that it's been a collective effort, that it's been people working together and striving together to help us to reach the point where we're at. These are faithful men that served David and accomplished some pretty noteworthy feats. We won't go through and read them all, but we're talking about men that slayed 300 people at a time. We're talking about men that slew giants in a snowy valley and lion-like men and killed lions and all these type of things that happened and take place. These men did great and mighty things to help David to get to where he was at. As I mentioned, these were just some of the chief of the mighty men. Many more go unnumbered and unmentioned. And there are always more than can be seen. We won't turn to it, but in 1 Samuel chapter number 22, you find the passage where David is on the run from Saul. He finds himself in the cave, and the Bible talks about how they hear that David's there, and they come and they accrue themselves to him and accumulate there in the cave with him. The Bible talks about that they come, and when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down and thither into him, and everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and they were with him about 400 men. It's all these men working together to bring David to this point we read about in 1 Chronicles chapter number 10. It was nobody makes it alone. Nobody makes it alone. We think about this as a church, that it's the church working together to make a difference. Philippians 1:27 talks about that, talking about them striving together for the faith of the gospel. Working together as a church to understand that we have children up here, but it's not just children. It's every member of the church that we're working together, that we're trying to invest in. We're trying to help them reach a point in their spiritual life. And as we turn around and look back at our own spiritual journeys, we can see the mighty men that have stood faithfully behind us to help us reach this point. And we ought to stop and take a moment and thank God for the mighty men. Those that have invested their time and their talent and their treasures and their efforts and their prayers and their life into ours to make us who we are. So it's those that work together. It's those that seek to strengthen you. If you read this in verse number 10, it talks about this in our verse number 9. It says, and David waxed greater and greater. There's no doubt he waxed greater and greater because of these men. And then you read on in verse number 10, he talks about them strengthening each other. And so these mighty men are there and they're strengthening and helping David become the person that he is. These men helped and strengthened him. God used them to help David when he needed it most. Now you could read about several of them in verse number 11 through 22. You could read about Benaniah. You could read about Abishai and 300 people with the spear. You can read about the three that traveled to get the water from Bethlehem. And you can read about Eleazar, who holds a parcel of land for David and barley land and defends it off from the Philistines. All these things are happening and taking place in this passage. But all of it did it to strengthen David. And I'll understand this, that in our own lives, the mighty men are those that God has brought in our lives to strengthen us. But not only are they there to strengthen us spiritually, they are there with our best interest in mind. They're not there for their own agenda. They're not there to work their own plan. They have our best interest in mind. And I mentioned that about some of these men. I talk about Eleazar, who defended a parcel of barley, trying to defend it from 300 Philistines. Why did he do that? Because these men were on the run. They didn't have their own crops. They knew that this was necessary for them to survive physically. They needed this barley wheat. They needed this to make the bread and to have it to nourish their bodies. They had to defend it and fight for it if they were going to continue to help King David reach his spot as king and sit on the throne. They understood that. You think about the three mightiest that the Bible talks about. David is there in a cave and he's surrounded by his mighty men, and outside the cave are the hosts of the Philistines, and they're just outside of Bethlehem where David had grown up. And he begins to talk about the well that was there at Bethlehem that he drank from as a child, and he just remembered the water and tasted so good, and what he would give in that moment to have that cup of water. And as I can imagine this, if you let me embellish a little bit, maybe David falls asleep. The Bible talks about these three mighty men under the veil of darkness sneak out and go across the enemy lines to get a cup of water, bring it back to David, and David says, I'm not worthy to drink it, and pours it out as an offering to the Lord, because these men had sacrificed their life just to refresh the man of God that was going to become king. Why? Because they had David's best interests in mind. And as we look back and think about our mighty men, it's those that have strengthened us. It's those that had our best spiritual interests in mind. Not only do they have our best interests in mind, they're helping us to accomplish God's will for our lives. As you read at the end of verse number 10, it says this, or end of verse number 9, that says that the Lord of the host was with them. The end of verse number 10, according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. They were trying to help him accomplish God's will for his life. Now, sure, these men might have had some of their own ideas or some of their own plans, but ultimately they were trying to help David. And we understand this tonight that David couldn't make it alone. I'm sure there's times he thought about quitting and times he thought about giving up, but these men helped him to get to where God wanted him to be. Thank God for the mighty men. So I ask you tonight, first of all, who's your mighty men? And thank God for them. The second thing and the last thing I'll ask you is this tonight. Whose mighty man are you? Whose mighty man are you? It's not enough just that people invest in me. It's now my turn and my opportunity to invest in other people. Because I want you guys to see something here. We read about these mighty men. It was an incredible thing that helped, that took place that helped them here. And I think about this and being someone else's mighty man, we can help someone else reach their spiritual potential. Again, no matter where you're at on your spiritual journey, if it's 1 week or it's been 35 or 50 or 70 years, you didn't get there on your own. So how can we expect other Christians and new believers to get where they need to be on their own? They need mighty men to stand behind them, to come behind them and say, you know what, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you reach your spiritual potential. You didn't make it alone and neither will they. You know, serving in ministry is helping someone reach their spiritual potential. Anybody can name a ministry for me and I can explain to you in some way that it helps somebody else to reach their spiritual potential. You could say, Brother Aaron, nobody knows who the sound guy is unless he messes up. Okay? Sorry, Brother Bob. But you know that's right, Brother Bob, Brother Randy. Nobody looks at you guys until you mess up. And then everybody's like, what's going on? But you know what? I know their heart, and the guys that sit in the booth, Brother Kyle, and my brother Anthony, and Jay, and Robert, those guys that sit up there, they don't want to be noticed. They don't want to be a distraction. They're trying to help your spiritual potential being reached so you're not distracted by anything else and you can hear God's word. And I can go on and name these ministries that people don't think about. Blake brings the water in all the time. Nobody thinks about that until it's gone. But you know what? I had to have water. I'm about ready to lose my voice. I don't know if Sheree just rubbed off on me or something. I breathe the air she had around here, but it's going. But I need that to be able to preach and teach God's word and have the voice refreshed. It's helping people reach their spiritual potential. That's what ministry is. And when we choose to be involved in a ministry such as the Awana ministry, it's an investment to help people reach their spiritual potential. It's a spiritual battlefield out there. That's not news to us, and it's only getting worse, but we have to help people reach their spiritual potential. And we make eternal investments. These men made many sacrifices and investments to help David. We could read about those in both passages, but we don't have time to do that. But they put their lives and necks on the line to help David to become king. And we can do that for others as we choose to serve and be involved and pray and give and do all we can to help others and make that investment. Pastor preached about that on anniversary Sunday, laying up treasure in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt. And thieves do not break through nor steal. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so as I work and I serve the Lord, I'm involved in ministry. I'm trying to be someone's mighty man. I'm trying to be someone's help and influence to reach their spiritual position. I'm not doing it to advance myself here on this earth. I'm doing it for my honor, for the honor and glory of God and to lay up treasure in heaven. But whose mighty man are you? You know, I want you to see this. In verse number 10, it says this. These also are the chief of the mightiest men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom. So the Bible says these men, by helping David, actually helped themselves. And I think that's often something that's missed or overlooked sometimes in our service to God or to others for God, is that it's actually helping us. Yeah, I'm trying to push them in the right direction to help them reach their spiritual potential, but it's actually doing something for me as well. It's encouraging me. It's spurring me to go on and continue on. It's helping me. It's challenging me to myself to be grounded in God's word and in my faith and spend time with him so I can give out to others. It's challenging me to receive more preaching so that I can give out to others. And you see here, as they began to help and to invest in David and to work with him and to advance his cause to become king, that they themselves were strengthened. And anybody that serves in ministry, you know this here tonight, as you serve the Lord, you walk out of that. Sometimes you might be tired, maybe a little exasperated. Sometimes you might be a little overwhelmed, but the overall understanding is this, that thank God for that opportunity. And it is truly more blessed to give than to receive. And that comes with service as well. And by helping David, they helped themselves. So those two questions tonight. Who are your mighty men? Thank God for the mighty men, because the truth is no one makes it alone. I'm not going to stand here tonight, but I think about over the last 25 years as a part of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, and I don't even want to start to name names, because I would surely leave someone off of the hundreds that God has used as my mighty men. People in this room, people in heaven, people that are part of another ministry now, former staff members, I could go on and name those that have invested in me as my mighty men. And I thank God for them. And I want to encourage you and challenge you tonight, first of all, who are your mighty men? And thank God for them. Don't fight against them. Embrace them and thank God for them. Then the second question was this: whose mighty man are you? Who can you say I'm investing in? Or in what way can you say, I know I'm making an investment? I'm eternally making a difference. I'm helping people reach their spiritual potential. Because the reality is this tonight, as we know from King David, is that no one makes it alone. No one makes it alone. We're each on a spiritual journey. And we're not going to get to where we need to be without help from the mighty men. So who are your mighty men, and whose mighty man are you? I'd like to have every head bowed and every eye closed. In just a moment, we're going to have a hymn of invitation, a time for you to respond. I don't know how God spoke to your heart. I know this was certainly an encouragement and a challenge to me. And the fact of the matter is that no one makes it alone. I think sometimes we ought to just fall on our face and thank God for those that he's put into our lives. He's brought into our lives, such as David's mighty men, that are making a difference, that are pushing us toward our spiritual potential. But I think the challenge is there as well for us to be someone's mighty man, because no one makes it alone. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. Thank you for just a chance to present God's word. Lord, I pray that you would help those to respond to how you've spoken to their hearts. God, I pray that you would help them to make whatever decision that you've placed upon their heart. Lord, I pray that we would be thankful, first of all, for those that you've put in our lives as mighty men to help us reach our spiritual potential. But Lord, I pray we would be equally as challenged to invest in others to reach their spiritual potential, to be their mighty men. God, I pray that you would bless now this invitation. God, I pray that you would just help us to respond to how you spoke to our hearts. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.